All right, would you take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter number 3 this morning. I want to talk to you about a blueprint for successful Christian living. Now, so many in our church are hurting and facing trials of every kind and in difficulty and trouble. Sometimes it can easily cause a stumble or fall in our walk with the Lord. And as I was seeking God about what text to select for this morning, something became very clear. It was Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5, 6, and 7. I visited the church Facebook page, and it was there. I looked at my Twitter feed, and it was there. I checked a trusted resource that I use often, and it was there when I read through John's memory book. Over and over and over again, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, time after time, folks signed that memory book like that. And friend, there is really no greater text to help us be successful in those hard times than Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And may the Lord be pleased to bless it afresh to our hearts this morning. Again, the title of the message, A Blueprint for Successful Christian Living. If you found your place in Proverbs chapter 3, I'm going to ask if you're physically able to go ahead and stand with me this morning for the reading of the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 5. Everybody ready? The Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." And all God's people said,
amen.
Thank you, and you may be seated. Again, the title of the message, A Blueprint for Successful Christian Living. Now, very familiar verses. Many of you can probably quote them. Life verses for many preachers and also for God's people in general, it's what they sign their Bibles with, and for good reason. Now, I quote this text often in my preaching and during my counseling times, but I actually never preached from this text until just a few years ago. But church, these verses are so useful to our daily lives. In fact, they show us the blueprint, principles for successful Christian living. Friend, can I tell you? This is what I need this morning also. And if it fell on my lot this day to stand before a bunch of preachers and fellow pastors and seminary professors or fellow laborers in the Lord, what I'm about to tell you is exactly what I would tell them. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. See, when God calls a man to preach, he doesn't give him some extra scoop of righteousness, or a double dose of holiness, or some special heaping of faith that other believers, you know, the non-preachers, can't have or are not capable of attaining to. No, we're all made out of the same stuff. My flesh did not magically get better when God called me to preach, and my flesh is never going to improve no matter how long I serve the Lord in this position. Truth is, Brother Roger, pastors struggle with the same issues that other believers do. Fear. I'm only 25. The church doesn't want some young guy like me. Or, I'm 65. The church doesn't want some old guy like me. They want a young man with a family. Same problem, different rapper. doubt. Is the Lord really using me anymore? Am I making a real difference in the lives of the folks in the congregation? I'm just not sure anymore. Busyness. Always on call. 24 hours a day simply is not enough time to get it all done. Pride. Many preachers think that they're a king, and the church is their little kingdom where they rule and lord it over God's people. Selfishness. The decisions I make for this church, by George, they're going to benefit me. I ain't going to get shortchanged again. Do you know what I've sacrificed? Issues with relationships at the home. You know, five sinners living under one roof ain't always going to be pretty. And sometimes, in the midst of all the craziness, we have to stop and do a checkup. And most of the time, it's from the neck up, amen. And we may conclude, you know what? My Christian life just isn't looking the way that it's supposed to. Well, in Proverbs chapter 3, God gives us some helps. He gives us some helps to combat all of the daily struggles that we encounter in life. Our text today shows us how to get back on track, and more importantly, it shows us how to stay on track. A blueprint for successful Christian living. Now, this morning I want to share with you three principles that will help us to live victorious for the Lord today and every day, so long as we live. Principle number one, we must trust in the Lord. Look at verse number 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. We must trust in the Lord. The text says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. My friend, this is wisdom's wealth. Proverbs is what? The book of wisdom. And my friend, if you want to be wise, then you need to trust in the Lord. And it should not be a difficulty, for God is utterly dependable. Brother Jim, and because God cannot lie, can never make a mistake, and has limitless love, God demands that we trust Him, yes, even in the midst of the darkest days. Can I tell you something? The Lord will never let us go. He'll never let us down. And He will never let us off the hook when we're wrong. We're talking about how we must trust in the Lord. And the first thing I see for us to do here is the faith to rehearse. Look at it. Trust in the Lord. That's the faith to rehearse. Now, a wedding rehearsal. I'm sure most of us have been in a wedding rehearsal. I've been in a few, including my own. I showed up to my own wedding, amen. And my best friend, BC, I was also in his wedding rehearsal. So I've been in a couple, and what do we do while we are at a wedding rehearsal? We are practicing for that public wedding that is coming, and then rehearsing for a play. Remember those plays back in grade school, way back when things were in black and white a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away? Do you remember those grade school plays? What happened? We practiced for weeks leading up to the actual play. When churches have a cantata, maybe Christmas or Easter, what happens? They practice for that live event. There is a rehearsal here at this church. At the conclusion of every Sunday evening service, sometimes on Wednesday evening, do you know what it is? It is the choir rehearsal. It's that private session, that private exercise. It is that private practice in preparation for the public performance. Now listen to me. This is the basic call for every Christian. Trust in the Lord. It's the faith to rehearse. We need to exercise our faith daily. It is the faith to rehearse. We must trust in the Lord. The little child who is saved needs to trust in the Lord. The teenager who knows Christ needs to trust in the Lord. The young marrieds who are saved need to trust in the Lord. The senior saints, the widow ladies in the church who know Christ, they need to trust in the Lord. It's the basic call for every Christian, trusting in the Lord. You say, Pastor, why are you telling me this? I'm the piano player. I'm the choir director. Preacher, why are you telling me this? I teach Sunday school. I'm a trustee here at the church. Preacher, why do I need to sit through this sermon? I'm the treasurer. I'm part of the core of the church. You know, they say if you come to church on Sunday morning, then you love the preacher. But if you come back on Sunday night, then you love the church. But if you come on Sunday morning and Sunday night and you come back on Wednesday night, well, they say, you love Jesus. You're part of the core of the church, they say. You say, Preacher, why are you telling me this? Listen, I'm telling you because no matter who you are, whatever title you want to ascribe yourself, whatever umbrella you may wish to sit under, you need to trust in the Lord. Now, I wonder if you are rehearsing your faith daily. I mean with every situation. Not this on again, off again stuff. You know, when things get bad, it's easy to trust in the Lord. We get all prayed up and right quick, don't we? What about when things are on a smooth sail on the sea of life? We need to trust in the Lord. Are we practicing our faith by putting each thing into God's hands? And we all have our things, don't we? Where are the kids going to go to college? Who are they going to marry? Relationship tensions in the home. When the job begins to destabilize. Now, I've been in paid ministry for over 20 years now, but the lion's share of my family's provision has always come through the secular job. And when I first moved to Tallahassee, I began working at Homes and Land magazine. And I worked there for over 10 years. Well, about year 9, rumors began to circulate. I started there as assistant controller, worked my way all the way up to the controller position. And rumors began to circulate that our company was going to be bought out by our competitor. Sure enough, around July 2013, the word finally came down that we had been bought out by our competitor, and all of the accounting work was going up to Atlanta where our competitor was, but none of the accounting folks were going up with it. Now, what was I going to do? I have a wife and 3 kids at home, and they need food. There needs to be electricity paid. There's the house payment. All those bills. You know the routine. You have them. I have them too. What was I going to do? Church, I had to trust in the Lord. Now, the truth is, the church I was at was still giving me a check every week, but to be honest, at the end of the month, it wasn't even enough to make the house payment. And they did what they could. I'm not bad-mouthing what I got paid. I had to trust in the Lord, not staying up all night worrying, wringing my hands, in a frantic fit, having an anxiety attack. I had to trust in the Lord. I had to trust in the one who said that he's going to work all things together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. I had to trust him. I loved the Lord. I believed my life was called according to his purpose. I believed I was right in the center of God's will for my life, pastoring there at Panacea Park Baptist Church. And I had to trust in the Lord because the job was ending and I was sending out resumes and I was getting no answers. So 60 days before the job was going to end, I started sending out those resumes, and 1 week passed, nothing, 2 weeks passed, nothing, 3-4 weeks passed, nothing. I had to trust in the Lord. I had to trust in the Lord. I had to trust in the Lord. Well, the week before my job at Holmes & Lamb was going to end, on that Monday, I got a call to have an interview with Florida ARF. The next day, I showed up for the interview. The interview went well. On Friday, they made the job offer. My last day at Holmes & Lamb was on Friday. 2 days later was my first day on the new job. I didn't skip a beat. I had a new job with a new position with a higher pay. And just because God can, He threw in $17,000 of severance from my old job to purchase that Honda Pilot out there that we desperately needed at the time. Amen. Dark days, had to trust in God. The Lord. We got to trust in the Lord in all things. When those things come up in your walk with the Lord, sometimes you just have to stop. You have to pause and you have to ask the Lord for wisdom. Ask the Lord, are there any principles from God's word that I can apply? Don't allow yourself to get overrun with emotion, to be overrun with feelings. Trust in the Lord. It is the faith to rehearse. The second thing I see is not only the faith to rehearse, but the fullness that's required. Look at our text again. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Do you see that? No half-stepping. No half-hearted effort. Church, we got to be all in on this decision to trust in the Lord. The Lord's not a fan of lukewarmness. We can't be wobbly about our decision to trust in the Lord. And we can't have squishy convictions if we really expect to live in victory and then faithfully maintain that when the trial and the trouble hits. The blueprint for trusting in the Lord in every situation, with each experience, under every trial, with each opportunity, with every failure, and with each success, that caveat, hear me, is trusting in the Lord with all thine heart. Yes, in bad health. Yes, when the congregation is shrinking. Yes, when the kids go astray. Yes, when there are financial constraints in the home. Yes, when you have to deal with open sin in the church, in the home. We can't be double-minded. It's the fullness that's required. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. There's the faith to rehearse, the fullness that's required. Number three, there's the folly to resist. Look at the end of the verse. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. Now, this is where the real battle happens, isn't it? Especially for us men. Now, you ladies may not have this trouble, but we men, when we face a problem, we want to get in there and we want to figure it out. Brother Doug, we want to fix it. So we start thinking. Keisha said, first sign of trouble. We start doing analysis. We get in there and we start logically ordering a solution to that problem that we are facing. Now listen, I'm not saying there's not a place for planning. But what I am saying is we can't leave out God. As a matter of fact, if the Lord is not central in our planning, and if the Lord is not central and the principles of this book aren't guiding our plan, then we are probably leaning to our own understanding. God's telling us there's a folly to resist. Don't lean to your own understanding. When we don't resist that folly, what happens? Well, you know by experience, that's when we fall flat on our face and we make an absolute mess of things. That's when we have that VA moment. I need to trust in the Lord with this. Church, there's a better way. God's given us a blueprint to follow. Don't lean to your own understanding. Trust God. Do it from the beginning. If we want to live successfully for the Lord, number one, we must trust in the Lord. Number two, we must tell of the Lord. Look at verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We must tell of the Lord. In everything that we do, we must consider the Lord and his desires. Can I tell you, listen, God has a plan for the plumber and for the preacher. God has a will for your life and my life as well. And to do God's will, that is the highest achievement of any person. God wants to lead us. And he's telling us exactly how that happens. We must tell of the Lord. Look at it. Number one is the foretelling, the rehash. God said, in all thy ways acknowledge him, the Bible says. Now, this is an action that we often disassociate with this principle and with these verses. Now, we know it follows verse number 5, trusting in the Lord with all thine heart and leaning not unto thine own understanding. Then we are to acknowledge him in all our ways. I mean, we know it's there, but mentally, we usually fail to connect the two in our mind. And I'm talking about our trust in the Lord with our talking. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And the one always helps out the other. Listen, we are to include God verbally in some communicable form in every single thing that we do. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Brother Danny, I took some time this week and I looked up the Greek word for that word all, A-double-L. And you know what I found? It means all. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Question, are you doing that? Now that's a serious challenge. In all thy ways acknowledge him. That's the standard. When we follow it, it aids our trusting. Why? Because we are constantly affirming God in everything that we do. Not that God needs our affirmation, no. It is given to help our little faith. At work, we can acknowledge God. At my previous job, I had a nickname. Folks called me the office pastor. Do you know why that is? It's because by God's grace, I had many opportunities to acknowledge God on the job. I remember the last Thanksgiving I was there, the whole office was standing there around a spread of food, and the CEO gave everybody an opportunity to say something that they were thankful for. So it started going around the room, and most people, they were thankful for their job, and they were thankful for their health. And there's not anything wrong with being thankful for those things. You ought to be thankful for your job. You ought to be thankful for your health. But as it was coming around to my turn, the Holy Spirit had lassoed me and zeroed in on my heart exactly what I needed to say. And I said, I'm most thankful that God has forgiven me of all my sin through his Son, Jesus Christ. And because of that, I have eternal life. We can acknowledge God on the job. Now, I don't know if I've ever met another man that acknowledges God more or better than Mike Barwick did. Now, he was the father of a young man in our youth group down there in Panacea. Now, Mike Barwick certainly doesn't dot all of his I's and cross all of his T's like we would or like he should. But I tell you, I've never met anybody that acknowledged the Lord better than Mr. Barwick did. You can't be around him for more than 5 minutes, Brother Charlie, without hearing something about Jesus or about learning something about the Lord. And he didn't do it because I'm a preacher and he was trying to impress me either. No, no. Because I walked into the Dollar General there in Panacea one day. And when I walked in over the aisle, I heard his voice telling the cashier about Jesus Christ. I caught him up in Walmart walking down the aisle, hitting two or three people, telling them about Jesus Christ. He always coaches a ball team down at the rec park, an 8, 9, 10-year-old little league team. And you know how at the end of the game, the coach calls the team in the outfield and he rehashes the game for 45 minutes. And then at the end, they say, 1, 2, 3, team. He had his team always, year after year. They broke down at the end of the game with chants about Jesus. I mean, loud, where the whole park can hear it. And he would say, who's God? And the kids would say, Jesus, who loves you more than anybody? Jesus, who died for you? Jesus, 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 Jesus. What am I saying? I'm saying on the mountain, give God the glory. I'm saying when you're down in the valley, vouch for the goodness of God. When you greet folk in the course of daily commerce, tell them about Jesus. It can be done and it must be done. With every relationship we form, with every person that we meet, acknowledge Christ. Let something in the yard acknowledge God. Maybe have a sign there with the Ten Commandments. Let something on the door of your house acknowledge God. Maybe a door hanger. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let the walls of your house acknowledge God. Put some scriptures on there. Your radio, your car, your social media. Let it all acknowledge God. There's a foretelling to rehash, because in all thy ways acknowledge Him all day, every week, every month, every year, so long as we have breath to give. Amen. When we do it, there's the promise of the forecast of radiance. Not only the foretelling to rehash, but the forecast of radiance. Look at our text again. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Now, I love a sunny day. Late fall, winter, or early spring is not my favorite time of the year. I do not like cold weather. I grew up in hot Mississippi, and I now live in hot Florida. I like a sunny day. And I like summertime, because the forecast in summertime calls for a lot of sunny days. Do you know what God is doing in these verses? He is showing you and I how to stay on the sunny side of life. Do you remember that hymn? Stay on the sunny side, always on the sunny side, stay on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day, it will brighten all the way. Stay on the sunny side of life. I love that hymn. That's what God is doing here. When He says, He shall direct thy paths. If we acknowledge God in all that we do, think about what's being said here. He, the all-knowing God. He, the all-wise God. He, the all-powerful God. He, the infinite, loving, merciful God. He, the gracious God. He that promised to work all things together for good. He shall direct thy paths. Brother Jerry, I like that outlook. Now, I may be from Mississippi and dumb as a block of rocks. I may be as backwards as a right shoe on a left foot. I know that. But even I know a good forecast when I see one. And that's a pretty good forecast. He shall direct thy paths. Now remember, our talking helps our trusting. Remember that? And if we are truly trusting, we will be talking. And when we're talking and our talking is right, and when we're trusting and our trusting is right, then all of the trails that we blaze in life are going to be guided by God. He shall direct thy paths. What a forecast. It's the forecast of radiance. It's knowing the will of God. Hear me. And failure to know the will of God is often the result of our failure to do the commands of God. If you want to live successfully for the Lord, He's given us a blueprint to follow. In verse number 5, we must trust in the Lord. In verse number 6, we must tell of the Lord. In verse number 7, we must trend with the Lord. Look at verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. What a condemnation to the know-it-all attitude that reeks of arrogance. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. We must trend with the Lord. That is, we must go in the direction of God. The first thing I see here is the folly to reconsider. Look at how the text starts. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Now, the blueprint has already instructed us to what? Lean not to thine own understanding. Now we are told, be not wise in thine own eyes. Hence, it is the folly to reconsider. See, Brother Roger, the reason we tend to lean to our own understanding is because in our own eyes, we're wise. Else, we would seek help. God's help. Now, pride is such a terrible thing. Raise your hand this morning if you think you have a problem with pride. Look around at all the people that didn't raise their hand. There's the one that have a major problem with pride. Well, I shouldn't have done that. I'll never get participation again. But friend, if we could, one by one, strip away our sins from our soul, hanging on at the inmost part of our soul would be the sin of pride. It is so often the reason we fail to live a successful Christian life. Be not wise in thine own eyes. I mean, we don't need anybody's help. Why, if I ask for help, folks might think I'm not spiritual. Besides, I'll figure it out on my own sooner or later anyhow. Till we figure out we can't change a heart. Talk it to death, mom and dad. Say all the right things, even sound biblical principles. And don't get me wrong, that does produce a favorable environment, but it will never change a heart in and of itself. Only God can change a heart. And with our wives and with our husbands and with our children and with our family and the folks in ministry that we serve with, a man must confess that the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And as the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Be not wise in thine own eyes. God doesn't needlessly repeat himself. Church, this trumpet is blown again because we need to hear it again with special consideration. My friends, be not wise in thine own eyes. It's the folly to reconsider. Number two, there's the fear that restrains. Look at it. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. That awe, that reverence, that esteem for God's holiness and power that causes us to not get too casual with God. I can't stand it when folks get casual with God. You know, the old man upstairs. He's not an old man upstairs. He's Almighty God. Fear the Lord to help us to not get there. When we have that, when we have that fear of the Lord, because we've learned not only to trust in the Lord, but we've learned to do it with all of our heart. And we've kept the Lord presently involved in all of our conversations and all of our relationships. How? By acknowledging Him in all of our ways. And we've experienced that blessing of God and Him directing our paths. Well, when that's present, then that holy fear restrains us from the urge to lean to our own understanding. That holy fear implores us to not be wise in our own eyes. That healthy fear keeps perspective in our hearts, and we become fully persuaded that only God is wise, fully persuaded that only God has absolute understanding. Church, I'm so thankful for the fear of the Lord because it always results in careful obedience. It is a spiritual blessing that we simply don't appreciate enough, especially in our churches in the year 2022. It's a spiritual blessing we ought to work much harder to maintain. Amen. The fear of the Lord. We must trend with the Lord. There's the folly to reconsider. The fear that restrains. And then there's the flight to righteousness. Look at it. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. When we depart from evil, church, the result is righteousness. Right living, doing that which is right. The book of Hebrews tells us that the scepter of the kingdom of Jesus Christ is a scepter of righteousness. Put it down big, plain, and straight. Successful Christian living is right Christian living. By your standards, your opinions, your preferences, by the Word of God. That's what trusting in the Lord is. If we want to depart from evil, the evil we must depart from is self-reliance. Self-reliance. If we would be worthy servants of the great King, then we must take that flight to righteousness. How? By trusting in the Lord. That's how we sustain our spiritual success. It is the blueprint for successful Christian living, and it's laid out in 3 points right here in Proverbs chapter number 3. In verse number 5, we must trust in the Lord. In verse number 6, we must tell of the Lord. And in verse number 7, we must trend with the Lord. My friend, if you look around and you decide my Christian life just doesn't look the way it's supposed to, come back to the blueprint. This is a good one here in Proverbs chapter 3. There's several in the Word of God. This is a real good one. Come back to the blueprint and get back on track. Let me close with this illustration to tie it all together. Don't ever say what you won't do. Brother Jim, I said I would never flip a hamburger. I will never work in a fast food restaurant. And I was proud about that. Well, I had finished my 4th year of college. I still had 2 classes left. Baseball was done. There was no prospects. Akeisha still had a whole year of college to go. So I divided those 2 classes up over 2 semesters. And I got a job working 3 12-hour shifts a week at Wendy's in the position of grill guy, flipping hamburgers. God certainly has a sense of humor. Well, working there at Wendy's, there was a blueprint that we were to follow about making those hamburgers. You ever notice the hamburger that you order never quite looks like the one that's on the menu? That one that's on the menu looks pretty good. I mean, I don't mind paying $4 for a burger that looks like that, but that one I unwrap and I look, I was like, really? It might be worth a dollar. But why? Why does the burger on the menu not look like the one you get? It's because of the care and the time that are taken in the prep of that burger, instead of that hamburger just being thrown together in a quick effort in the midst of busyness to get that order out. But you know what I found out, Brother Doug, in that year of working at Wendy's? When the regional manager showed up, things changed. All of a sudden, that burger began to look more and more like the one that was on the menu. Why? Because the blueprint was being followed more closely. The bun girl was no longer grabbing the buns, taking them out, and smashing them into the bread warmer and shoving them through there. So she was doing her job better. The folks in the morning that were cutting up the tomatoes and onions, they weren't just going and slicing them through and throwing it all in to be put on the burger. They were throwing out the dregs of the onions. They were throwing out the small, discarded the small pieces of the tomato on the top and the bottom. And the folks that was peeling the lettuce, they were only taking the nice pieces of lettuce and putting those in the tray to be served with. And they were discarding all of the small pieces of lettuce. And the sandwich preparer, when she got all of the ingredients, she didn't just throw them on there like she wasn't looking, you know, like doing a basketball shot on the burger. When you open it, there's stuff everywhere, and smashing it together when she wrapped it. And I, as the grill guy, I was no longer going splat, 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 flip, flat, splat, 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 flip, splat, 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 flip. You know, Wendy's burgers are square. And there was a method to cooking those burgers. After it cooked for a few minutes, you were to gently press each corner and then flip it in order to keep the burger in a square shape and to prevent it from being thinned out by splatting it like I would do when things got busy. And so the burger meat kept its shape because I didn't apply so much pressure. And all of a sudden, the finished product looked pretty close to the thing that was on the menu. What's the point? We followed the blueprint. Everybody followed the blueprint. My friends, when we follow the blueprint of Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 7, our Christian life will begin to look a lot more like it's supposed to look. The big things, the little things, our social life, personal life, all of your life. Acknowledge Him. God will rev up that bulldozer and God will clear a way through the wilderness for you. And God will make a way in the darkest day. It's the blueprint for successful Christian living. It's what God wants us to use today and every day to live victorious for Him. Sister Tasha, if you'll come to the piano. We're going to open up the altar for a time of invitation. I know many are going through very serious trials in our congregation. Many are sick, there are relationship problems, there are financial problems. And it's when those troubles and trials come that sometimes we are more susceptible to a stumble and fall in our walk with the Lord. Or maybe life, the craziness of it, has just caused you to drift a little bit. Look at the blueprint today. Let's get our Christian life back to looking a little more like it's supposed to. We're going to open up the altar. I invite you to come down and just to get alone with God and invite God back into your life and to walk with you through these troubles. If you're not saved, your first step is where we started, trusting in the Lord. You got to trust Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're not saved, if you're not sure you're saved, the altar's going to be open for you. Won't you come down? If God's troubled your heart, you want to know about eternal life and the forgiveness of sins, come on down. I'll take my Bible and share with you how to have eternal life. Let's go.